It's been a theme of a lot of the songs for our conference this year, is Here Am I, Lord. Amen. It's a surrendering song. We ought to be willing to go wherever God wants us to go, do whatever God wants us to do. And it is good to have Pastor Luke Carringer with us. Amen. And he has been a blessing to us in the past on the radio and serving in our ministry, going up through the college and graduate. You can graduate, guys. You can graduate. If Luke can graduate, but it is a blessing to have him back with us and to let him tell us about everything that's going on. Just really, God's been using him up there in North Florida. He didn't quite make it to Georgia, preacher, but he got close, all right? So you come and tell us about it.
Boy, it's good to be back here at the Landmark Baptist Church and, of course, the college. And it is true, if I can make it, you can make it too. And I'm sure many of my professors thought, boy, that boy ain't going to make it. Yeah, not at all. And so, but it's good to be here tonight. And I enjoy it. Have fond memories of college here. I just loved it. Loved every minute of it. And I'm thankful for Landmark Baptist College to be my school. Many people are ashamed of where they used to go. Not me. I'm proud of it, and I know I will be for the rest of my life. And I'm thankful for it. Just a standing ministry here and just continuing on. What an honor to be in the pulpit tonight of Pastor Carter and Dr. Barry Parsons. And I just mean that. Preacher, I want to say thank you for letting me come tonight and to share my burden and what God's doing in Tallahassee and things like that. My wife's here with me this evening over there, and my boys are not with us tonight. We've got three boys and something on the way. I don't know, guy, girl, twins, triplets, and we don't know yet. We're going to find out. And now, hold on a second here, okay? We're going to go to the doctor and find out, okay? Male or female? God made them male or female, okay? And let me clarify that just there for 1 minute, okay? And all right, let's move on here with this thing. We're in Tallahassee. My wife and I moved there in January of 2025. We got to come through and give a report of what God had laid upon our heart to do. And at that time, we had been there and been knocking doors and inviting. And we heard a great deal of people interested in coming to the church. And of course, we had our first service April 6th. And so we're 6 months old now. And God bless, we had 58 on the very first service. And there was a missionary couple that came up with us, Dean and Patty Runyon. And so they helped us knock some doors a couple weeks before the church started. And so my wife and I, so what a blessing it was for the Lord to provide for the church right off the bat. And so we're meeting in a little schoolhouse, like a little house on the prairie, just that one-room schoolhouse built in 1884, and we were meeting there for, for about 7 months we had been meeting, 5 months we had been meeting there, and so we outgrew it, and the little schoolhouse seats about 40, and so by God's grace, we were breaking that number every Sunday, and we just kept trying to figure that out, and the little parking lot there holds about five parking spots for our folks, and we share it with a dog park. And so about 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, every dog walker in Tallahassee is at that park, and so we don't have very many parking spots, and so people were walking over 100 yards to get to church, and it just was real sweet, and we were all just a wonderful, wonderful time the Lord has blessed. And so by His grace, we've just been able to see that steady in the little schoolhouse. We prayed and prayed and prayed, and that the Lord would provide another place for us to meet. And so here about a month ago, we were checking in every storefront you could imagine. We were looking at all the schools, the gyms we could rent and things. They want $8,000 to $10,000 a month to rent something. And so we were, you know, that's just something that we can't afford. And so we were praying about that and what to do. So I started checking around in some of the schools. We make and meet in their cafeterias and move forward that direction. And so we start checking on some things. And, you know, you get to a school cafeteria, you can be very confused trying to find into where you're supposed to be. You have to have map directions, park over here and walk a mile to get to your room and then move back and forth. So yeah, that was a task, you know, trying to find a place. And so we just went to pray, and our church prayed for several months that the Lord would provide. So we ended up getting involved in a school. We started getting some quotes back from the school, still wanting like $5,000 to rent a month, and just was incredible. You know, we just continued to pray about that, and I went to a school, and it was perfect setup, you know, where we can hold church and things like that. So I spoke to the lady there, and she said, you know what, I believe it'll be approved, and let's just run it through some things. So they called us back, and we got approved. So we're allowed to meet in Gilchrist Elementary School for $2,000 a month. And they set up for us, and they tear down for us, and we get to do all that. Now, before that, with the schoolhouse, we had church in a trailer, the folks called it, and we just simply run in with every chair we have, all of our tables, all of our tracts, all of our Bibles, everything you see that church has, we carried it in a trailer, the pulpit, everything. And we unloaded church, had church, loaded it back up in the trailer, and had to leave. We got the community center on Sunday at 9 a.m. and lost it at 8 p.m. Sunday night. And so we had to set up, and we've been doing that for about 6 months, and we were enjoying it. And so when we found out that this school, the elementary school, would set up for us, boy, that was the cat's meow right there. And the Lord answered prayer. And so we've been able to get in there and just have a wonderful time. We had relocation Sunday. My mind escapes me the date, maybe September 28th. And we had relocation Sunday, and the Lord blessed. We had the largest crowd we've ever seen, and I believe it was about 71. And they're in the old school, in the elementary school. And our folks are excited and just watching things grow. Been able to see a lot of people saved and baptized. And just a wonderful, wonderful adventure and journey there. None of that could ever be done if it wasn't for churches like you helping us and supporting us. We just went there by faith. And we just trying to serve the Lord in Tallahassee. There's 39,000 people in our territory alone. I mean, 270,000, if you would, in Tallahassee. But in my territory, Bradfordville specifically, about 39,000 people. Not one gospel preaching church there, not one. And many people are on their way to hell and dying, and you knock on people's doors, and it's the mission field there just as much as it is anywhere. And so I'm grateful to be able to pastor. We started Bannerman Baptist Church, and the Lord is blessing. I thank you for your prayers. Go to John chapter number 5, if you would. John chapter number 5, and as we take a look at this, this evening, pray for our church. We hold services Thursday nights, and so we had, this would be the first time I'm away from our services this evening, and we started right off the bat Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday nights, and so I traveled a lot on Wednesday nights, and so Lord is blessed, and we just had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time, and so I thank you. Thank you again, Pastor Parsons, for allowing me to preach this evening, and I want to thank the church for all your prayers. We feel it up there in Tallahassee, and how dark and how scary it is sometimes, wondering what's going to take place and things, and I tell you, I got a book. I just love it. We've got a book at home. We write down all of our answered prayers, and just miracle after miracle after miracle that God's doing. And so I just love it. And I thank you for your prayers and your support. We greatly appreciate it. John chapter number 5, look about verse number 1, if you would. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity of 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cursed, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, That man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk. He that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. That man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Tonight, I'd like to talk to you a little bit tonight, just about some Bible truths that I find here in this passage. And And I pray it's a blessing to you. I know it was a blessing to me as I was studying it, and I'd just like to talk to you. And I'm not planning on keeping you all evening, but I've already settled in and anyway, let's move forward, okay? Let's pray. All right, Lord, thank you for the day. I love you so much. Thank you for this wonderful time, Lord, here at Landmark Baptist Church. I thank you for the preacher. Lord, I thank you for the kind and sweet hostess they are. Lord, I especially thank you for the opportunity to preach this evening. Lord, I pray you do a miracle with me. I cannot preach, only you can. Please do the impossible with me tonight. Lord, I'm asking for a miracle. Articulate my speech. Help me to be clear. Lord, I thank you for the focus on missions. Lord, that's the heart of God. I love you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. John chapter 5 gives a story. I believe a salvation story. I believe it's significant. I don't think that things are just written in here by accident. I don't think that the Bible is just there that we might read it and just get some sort of a tickle or a fairy tale. I believe that God had put things specifically in there, as Paul states, for our admonition. And I believe that this story is specific for something the Lord wants us to learn. I start looking at this pool of Bethesda here, and I find some things that I'd like you to just take a look at, if you would. Verse number 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and he goes up to Jerusalem. There's some few feasts going on about this time, speculated the feast that it is that Jesus is taking part of, possibly the Pentecost, feast of the Pentecost. And so he has showed up here in this capital city of Jerusalem where this pool would exist. Now, there's some things about the pool that could be of a great debate, but I believe that the Bible is specific in its teaching of the pool. I think that God, in his miraculous power, in a way that he had done it, some reason designed a pool someone could be healed at. Now, if you read the story and you look at it, there's a great take on both sides, and God is God has certainly written in the book, and we compare Scripture with Scripture. And so tonight I'd like to look at this, that I believe that this pool existed. I believe that it was real. I specifically think it because of the personal witness of the man. I've tried to get into it. And so, but another man cometh before I can get down there to the pool. And so I'm thinking about this pool, and in my opinion, it has a great truth about it that God is trying to teach you and I specifically. For some reason, he's allowed the stirring of the waters, that this pool would be desired, that as soon as the angel could come down, that you would be able to just dip a part of your finger or something into it, and you would be healed immediately. So I think about this pool, and I think about, the Bible says, that great multitude that had gathered around the pool seeking healing. I think about this impotent man that had thought, I can get to this pool to be healed. So here's this pool that God has allowed. They believe they found it in the wall of Jerusalem. They found the drawing of it. And so I can imagine those five porches around in there and all those folks sitting around it and just waiting for the moving of the water. I don't know how often it came. I don't know and such, but he said it was for a season. And he states that this angel would come down for this season and would stir and touch the waters. And I think about how the excitement that would take off in that place and how people would excitingly get to that water as quick as they possibly can. You can think about it famed across the land. You could say, hey, I ended up touching the pool of Bethesda and I was healed. You can think about folks that were saying, hey, didn't I see you? You had problems. You were halt, or maybe you were blind. What happened? Well, I was able to get down to that pool. I don't know why God did it. I don't know why, but God can do such things. He does things how he desires to do it. He holds reign in your life. He holds reign in this universe. He can do whatever he desires. I believe that this pool of Bethesda, God allowed for some reason this angel to go down and stir these waters that someone might could be healed. Think specifically, if you take a look with it, if you would, at some passages with me, that God allowed this as a miracle to get attention. Take a look, if you would, to John. Flip over to the right, John chapter 9. Catch this. I just want you to see some things that God has done. He says right here in John chapter 9, he uses nature and he uses his miraculous hand to do something special. He chooses to do things often that doesn't make sense to us. This pool of Bethesda might not could make sense how that this special water could do it, but this miraculous event is not against God's nature. God does things all the time that doesn't hold logic. I mean, Peter walking upon that water, good night. All those other disciples, as they seen him, as they step out of the boat, you're crazy. What are you doing? You know, God does miracles like that that doesn't hold logic sometimes. But it's not against his nature to do this. Catch if you would, John chapter 9. Look at verse number 6 here. John chapter 9, verse 6. This they say, tempting him that he might have accused him. I'm sorry, I'm in chapter 8. Chapter 9, verse number 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, it's not against God's nature to just simply use something that doesn't make sense. The guy, he's been down and spitting on the clay, and he makes it, puts it on his eyes, and you can think about that for a moment, how awkward, I guess you can say, that might would be, and then telling him to go wash, and he came again seeing. God used things like that. I mean, think about Naaman. Go dip in the Jordan River. I'm not going to do that. The servant very wisely, if the man of God had told you to do something else, something drastic, wouldn't you do it? God used that and healed him. Not against God's nature to do something miraculous as this, something so beyond human comprehension. And I believe it was for a purpose. Go to Acts chapter 19. Catch this if you would. This took a double take when you begin reading it and you say, wow, that's something else right there. Seeing God work a miracle like this, but he makes a statement here. I'd like to observe in Acts chapter 19, verse 11. He said, and God wrought special miracles. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. He wrought special miracles. Now, we're not talking about Benny Hinn here where he just, we're talking about God's miraculous hand placed upon just an article of something that was given from Paul, and he used that, and it was given in Scripture a special miracle. I don't believe that was put there by accident. I think the Lord was clarifying what he was doing here. I think the Lord was proving, hey, there's a power that goes beyond all human comprehension. I like what one man said. A scientist was talking in a debate, and he says, I just don't understand God. He said, well, if you can fit God in your tiny 3-pound brain, he's not going to be much of a God. I think about trying to understand God, and I try to understand the miraculous things that he can do. Sometimes it just gets above my head. I'm thinking about this pool. How crazy is that? But it's not against God's nature to do something like this. It's not against his nature to do something miraculous. Go to 2 Kings 13. I want to show you these three things here. Something that just seems wow, that's insane. You know, that's out of this world. That's completely unnormal. 2 Kings chapter 13 here. I want you to observe this, verse number 21. Verse number 21 here, 2 Kings chapter 13, verse number 21. Elisha has died. They're burying a man. Now catch this. This is crazy. You imagine this man's testimony. Verse 21, and it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Woo! Good night. Could you imagine seeing that? I thought you were dead. I was, you know. And you know what happened? You know, did something come along? I touched somebody's bones and came alive. How miraculous. Are you kidding me? That's against logic. You see, this is not against God's nature. God just does miraculous things often. That doesn't hold logic. That just doesn't make sense. God couldn't do that. I think this pool of Bethesda is something that God was allowing us to see his powers beyond human comprehension. I also see another part of this story. I see the great multitude gathered around this pool. think if they can touch that pool that they'd be healed. Obviously, God can do it, and He's done it. And they have faith in the power of God, that the stirring of that water is going to come, and if I can touch it. I think about us, this should be encouraging to you and I, that this pool of Bethesda, if God can work such a mighty miracle like that, what could He do in our hearts and lives if we just had a little faith? If we could just apply some faith to the edges of our life, what could God do? This miraculous event. I see something else as I'm looking at this. He's got this pool that I believe we're supposed to be encouraged. Have I truly, after reading this story and following it, I can say that God can do anything He desires. I truly believe that this should be encouragement to us, that God can work a mighty miracle in our heart and our life if He so desires, and that we can mend our relationship with Him, and we can use faith to do that. I think about a significance of this. If you'd take a look back at chapter 5, catch about verse number 9. We've got the pool of Bethesda that we believe this mighty miracle working that God has given, but He does something here specific on this day. Verse number 9, John 5, 9. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, I believe there's something specific. Go up, if you would, and see at verse number 6. When Jesus saw him lie, knew that he had been there now a long time. You also see in verse number 5 that he had had this infirmity 38 years. There's a specific reason for why the Lord is healing at this time and why He's healing on this day. There's a more logical reason, I guess you can say, that you would just immediately self-evident looking at it, that He's healing on the Sabbath day. 7 recorded healing miracles on the Sabbath day. Hey, He's proving His deity. Jesus is proving that He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Yeah, He's in charge of it. I'm the Messiah that has come. I'm the one that's here, the one that's been preached about all this time. The prophecies, I'm here now. It's time. He's proving His deity, getting the attention, if you would, of the Jews, and making sense of it, that He has who has the power to forgive sins. And would it be easier for me to say, take up thy bed and walk? Proving this, He said, so He could prove. And so I believe here the Sabbath day is specific for a few several reasons, but I believe that He had this man in interest. I believe that if he would take the time to walk through Samaria to find the woman, I believe if he would take the time to delay so he could cause a miracle through the life of Lazarus so much that people would be upset and many people would turn to God for that, I believe that he would be ingenious enough to have timing with this impotent man. He's had this disease 38 years. Jesus comes along and heals him. Why not before? He knew he'd been in that time, in that case a long time. Why not before? I believe this time is specific to what he's trying to teach. And if you'd stay with me and I could borrow your imagination for a while, I'd like you to see something here in verse number 6. Catch what Jesus says to this impotent man that again had had this disease for a long time, and how he is using this, if you would, to gather the attention, to make known his deity. And he makes a statement to this man at the same time at this healing part of the pool. He says in verse number 6 at the latter part, wilt thou be made whole? Now, hold on a second. Look at the pool. See the pool. See where the people are gathered around. Multitudes, great multitudes are gathered around this pool. I mean, you've got porches. I can imagine of them gathering around, being at the edge of that pool, getting as close as they possibly can to it. Jesus walking by, it says that he hid himself. And so here he is now at this pool, and he's looking right at this man, and he sees him around the pool. He says, wilt thou be made whole? He's at the pool. If I wouldn't go to the pool if I wasn't wanting to be made whole. God's got this miraculous work in this pool, and these people are believing that if they could touch the water, and that if God could stir that water, then God could heal me. And this man is there, and he's laying there down at the bottom, and Jesus is walking. Wilt thou be made whole? I could imagine just for a second, I'm sitting at the pool. I'm here. My answer might would be to him, well, Lord, I'm here in front of the pool. He didn't even know it was Jesus. What about this response? Well, there's the water. What's this question? I believe Jesus is doing something specifically. He had known he'd been in this case for a long time. 38 years he's had this. How did the impotent man get to the pool? How did he do it? Somebody take him. Did he crawl? Did somebody get him there? Did he take family? But here's the idea. Here's the catch. He got to the pool because the pool had healing. Imagine in his mind thinking, if I can just touch that thing. Say, how in the world did you get that idea? Because he gives that answer. Will you be made whole? The pool is his answer. Somewhere along this man's life, he said, if I can get to that pool, I'll be made whole. I don't know when. I don't know how long he had been there. I don't even know how he got there, but I know he's there. And I know he had faith enough that if he could just touch that water, he'd be made whole. Jesus coming up to him and says, wilt thou be made whole? And he says, well, when the troubling of the water comes, I have no man to put me into the pool. Jesus' timing is impeccable. Wilt thou be made whole? He says, at the troubling of the water. Look at the wording specifically, if you would. See exactly what he says, how he says this here. Speaking to Jesus, take a look at it in verse 7. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. He's giving his frustration to the Lord. He's giving his frustration to this man that has challenged this question. You're at the pool, wilt thou be made whole? What's the problem here with this thing? You can imagine as he gets frustrated and he starts looking at him, he says, listen to me, I've got no man. When the water begins trouble to put me into the pool, I can imagine as he's laying there on the steps and he thinks, if I can just get a hold of that water, if I could just put something in the water, when that thing begins troubled, I tell you what, I'll be healed and I know it. I'm going to try to get down there. And all of a sudden, somebody's carried him X amount of feet away or so distance from that pool and the troubling of the water comes. And there he goes, a wiggling the best he can, trying to get down to that pool, just trying to touch it the best he can, because he knows if he touches it, healing will come. His faith is where it needs to be. He's got his faith in God. He knows that God holds that miraculous power. It's the angel of the troubling of the water. And so here he is trying to get a hold of it, but he can't do it. The timing of the Lord, the timing of Jesus is beyond me. It's impeccable. And he tells them at this moment, why would Jesus not show up another time? Why would he not heal him at another time? Because Jesus came at the moment that the man needed it. Why wilt thou be made whole? He tells him, I have no man to put me in the pool. In other words, sir, I can't do it. Jesus showed up the moment he was broke. Think about that for a second. If Jesus would have showed up just a week earlier, maybe he would have thought, would that be made whole? Just give me another day or two. If he'd have showed up a day after, maybe he'd have given up and died. Jesus shows up right at the right time. Sir, what thou be made whole? He says, I've got no man to put me in the pool. I just can't do it. I've tried. You've not been here. I have. I'll see the angel start stirring the water. And all of a sudden, I start giving every power I've got. I move as far as I can. I give the best knowledge I possibly can. I move every bone I got. But you just don't understand. I can't get it because every time I try, somebody gets there first. Will you be made whole? I can't make it. My problem is I don't have anybody willing to help me get to the pool. Sir, will you be made whole? I have no man to put me in the pool. You see, the power is no longer in my hands. I can't do it. He's been in this case a long time, 38 years. He's had this disease. Jesus shows up now because he's broke. He's tender. He's ready. I start thinking about this evening, and I study through that over and over again. What if he had showed up earlier? Would he still have a hope? Would he still have that desire? I can do it. I know I can. How many people are still trying to get into the pool by themselves? Somebody shows up on their door knocking and they say, but you'd be made whole? Yeah, just give me a couple weeks. I'll get in the pool by myself. Will you be made whole? That's right. I'm working my way there. Just give me a minute. This pool that God has designed, he says, I've got no man to do it. He's come to himself. Can imagine the plan while he's laying there. He's heard about this pool and he says, wait a minute. The pool of Bethesda, the people are getting there and they're getting healed. Somebody get me there. Somebody take me. I've got a plan. If I can just get on this wagon or if somebody would just carry me, you put me at that pool of Bethesda. I'll get down there. As soon as the water is troubled, I'll touch it. I'm healed. That's the answer. I can do it. Problem solved. But his plan didn't work. And that's when Jesus shows up, when he's finally come to himself to realize my plan didn't work. Because I was supposed to touch the water, but I cannot do it because I am not able, and no man is willing to focus on me enough to give enough sacrifice to be able to put me into the pool. He's come to himself. I cannot do it. Where's our heart tonight? Where are we? Are we sitting there trying to get into the pool by ourselves? You apply this to salvation. You take a look at it and you say, hey, I'm going to get into the pool by myself. I'm going to be able to do it the way that I can make it work. When I can get to heaven on by myself. Or you apply it to your faith. I can do things on by myself. I knock on this door. I've been there before. I knocked on a door and invited someone to church and was ready to witness all by myself in my flesh. You know what? That person didn't get saved. I walked away. Good night. I've messed up. Broken heart. You think about that for a second. How often are we there by ourselves trying to make it work by ourselves? Where is our heart? This man shows up. He doesn't even know it's Jesus, but his mind is already where it needs to be. And he tells him. That man reaches out in 100% faith, healed. He had been prepared. Thinking about it tonight in my heart, where am I at? I'm thinking about this. Everything I had tonight, I'd call it introduction. Here's my message, if you would. 2 points, 2 minutes. The prepared heart. The prepared heart. Number one, the prepared heart realizes they must have the miraculous help of the Lord. The prepared heart realizes they must have the miraculous hand, the miraculous help of the Lord. There is nothing you can do on your own. Nothing. There's nothing we can do in the work of the ministry without God's touch. You've got to have the miraculous hand of God. You've got to. The prepared heart, number two, realizes the needs of others can only be met by the power of God. The needs of others can only be met by the power of God. I believe this pool of Bethesda is placed here on purpose to teach us that God can work a miracle beyond human comprehension. And to place that man at that pool believing that God could do something, but he must have the hand of God. Jesus shows up, takes care of him. The prepared heart realizes they must have the miraculous help of the Lord. The prepared heart, number two, realizes the needs of others can only be met by the power of God. You say, why is this significant to me? Why is this significant to me? Why is this preached tonight? I don't know. God put it upon my heart. You know the application. But if I could tell you what's in my heart a little bit, I don't ever want to do anything without the miraculous hand of God. How dare I try to get anywhere by myself? How dare I? How dare I, blindsided, how dare I walk blindly realizing that others need the help of God and I'm just going right by him? How dare I? Every head bowed and every eye closed this evening as we pray together. This miraculous pool, this miraculous event that God allowed to take place. Do you believe God could do something so miraculous in your life? Do you believe that God could turn your life around? Do you believe that God can do something for you beyond human comprehension, beyond all imaginable things? God can use you. Not that you could do something, but that God could use you. Preacher, you don't understand where I'm at. You don't understand what's going on. God does. Give your heart, give your life to him. In your heart right now, pray to the Father, I've got no man to get me in the pool. I've got no man. The altars are open and the music will begin to play. If the Lord's touched your heart in any way, form, or fashion, use the altar tonight. use the altar tonight. Talk to the Lord. Use me in any way I can. I understand that missions can only be touched by the hand of God. My dollar is an American dollar, but I need the power of God upon that. My prayers, I know they're being sent to the Father. Lord, please use my prayers this evening. Use my prayers. Oh God, I've got to have your miraculous hand.
All to Jesus.